lifetime is filled with a steady flow of time, moving from one day to the next, seamlessly and evenly. Children feel that their life will go on forever. Middle-aged folks think that they still have plenty of time. The old can't believe how quickly the time has gone. This collection of stories is about the opportunities each of us have in the lives that we have here on Earth. Everyone has choices. Sometimes they are simple, other times not. The following true stories, three people tell the choices that they made and ultimately the one choice that would change their lives forever. Listen now to Ellen's story.
Consisted of related people living in a house. No closeness, no I love you, daughter, but a lot of fear and pain. My mother took the children to church on Sundays, but I didn't feel like it was a sincere gesture with all that I was suffering at home. I didn't see God was helping me in any way. I couldn't see how the Father in heaven could want anything to do with me when my earthly father considered me worthless. I didn't know what unconditional love was, nor that it even existed. With no positive role models to lean on, I made many wrong choices and decisions, including drugs and alcohol to try and ease the pain, and I also did many wrong actions. I was alone, not really able to make friends, and certainly not able to trust anyone. My feelings of unimportance and unworthiness took me in my early 20s to the lowest point in my life when I tried to take my own life. I truly thought the world would be a better place without me. I took a lot of pills and began to feel very sick. Something inside me seemed to keep telling me to call an ambulance. Finally I did, but again I thought I was still on my own and figured this was just one more thing I wasn't successful at. There was a period of about 10 years when I never went to church, never prayed, and I never did anything remotely religious. Some friends invited me to their churches, but I always felt to me like something was missing, and I was just going through the motions. Sometimes I'd feel a tug at my heart, and my eyes would well with tears when the invitation to accept Jesus as my Savior was given, but I would tell myself that I was just being emotional, that I was okay, and I just needed to get a hold of myself. I believed in God, but I couldn't see His love. I believed that if He truly loved me, my life would be a lot better. I would continue to rely on myself in the good times, well, at least what I thought were the good times, as well as the bad times. I put God in a box to fit my comfort zone. My oversimplification of everything and the denial of the tug of my heart caused me a life of despair. About a year and a half ago, though, my life changed drastically. At a service, I heard a family giving a testimony about their lives and how they came to the Lord. It was as if they were speaking my story. That day, the tug on my heart was the strongest it had ever been. My eyes welled up with tears, but this time I listened to the still small voice that told me God truly loved me unconditionally, and I was worthy of that love. When I came to the altar and accepted Jesus as my Savior, it was as if God, one by one, lifted the bricks off my shoulders that I had been carrying around for such a long time. I felt renewed and had such a sense of overwhelming peace. I am no longer walking alone. In fact, Jesus is walking right beside me, and he always was. I just didn't know it. All the tears I cried, Jesus wiped them away, and through all the bad times, he held my hand. But I didn't know that either. I was living in the world, always looking for that elusive something, always trying to measure up, and I just never did. I know now it was God's voice telling me to call the ambulance. I never understood why God let bad things happen, when I know now it wasn't God at all. God saved me, and I know that he answers prayer. That something missing feeling I always had was not having Jesus in my life. If I had succeeded in my attempt to take my life, or if I had never come to the altar, I would never have known the magnificence and awesomeness of God. Each invitation to church I had, every tug of my heart, was Jesus standing there with his arms wide open and his hands reaching toward me. I just never reached out and grabbed a hold of his hands. When I finally did, my life was changed forever. There are still struggles and obstacles in my life, but I know now that God is there with me in the good times and the difficult times, and he will never leave me. I have a family now, God's family, and I have many brothers and sisters in Christ. God does not change. He is the same today, tomorrow, and always, and God keeps his promises. I thank him for second chances and for the honor to serve him every day. I pray that you too accept Jesus as your Savior, and your life is changed forever, and you claim that you are God's child. May the Lord bless you, and I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have a choice to make about eternity, the most important choice you will ever make. Listen to Sean's story of his amazing transformation because of the choice that he made to follow Jesus Christ.
My life growing up was extremely confusing. Let me explain. I was born in 1969 in Bryn Mawr, Pennsylvania. My mother was 19 years old. My father, he was 20. My mom's pregnancy was a result of the free love movement that so invaded society in the 1960s. And soon after my birth, my parents divorced, and by mutual consent, they decided that I would live with my mother for the first 7 years of my life, and then I would live with my dad until I graduated from high school. Early childhood memories are kind of vague for me. I know that I was shuffled around between my mom and grandparents. Somewhere at around age 5 or 6, I remember that my mother and stepfather became involved with Eastern mysticism and became ensnared in that lifestyle. I distinctly remember going to the Catskill Mountains and being put into a nursery where people were meditating and incense was burning, and all these people had these red dots on their foreheads. for a young guy, this was really, really scary, strange, and I was very confused. Well, because of my parents' divorce and the absence of a father in my life, I was an extremely angry child. I didn't know how to deal with the pain, and so I kind of buried it inside of me. My mom sent me to a counselor, but that didn't help. I just kind of learned to push the pain that I had deeper and deeper into my life, kind of just bury it. Living in a divorced home had many complications. One, I never really felt accepted by my stepfather. And two, I never knew where I was going to spend Christmas, summer break, Easter, or any other major holiday. It was constantly back and forth between families, and this left a lot of confusion in my mind. My father remarried, and he settled down in the state of Indiana. I dreaded getting on a plane, and if they didn't have enough money for a plane, then they'd put me onto a train. If they didn't have enough money for a train ticket, then I went by bus from Pennsylvania to Indiana, and then when I was done visiting my father, back again. I remember making those journeys all by myself, wondering what was going to happen to me, who would be there to pick me up, and how could I make the best of this situation. I remember at the age of 7, I packed all of my belongings into a suitcase. I left my friends, I left my school, my neighborhood, and I went to go live with my father. This was a huge wake-up call to me because when I arrived to live with him, I realized very quickly that my father was a drug addict and an alcoholic. In the years that I lived with my father and stepmother, our relationship was very strained. My father spent most of his time sleeping on the couch or fighting with my stepmom because of his drugs and alcohol. I remember going and hiding under my bed and just putting the pillow over top of me, hoping that the yelling would stop, the fighting would come to an end, but it just never did. As a result of that, the anger that I had buried deep inside began to grow and manifest itself in very, very destructive ways. As a young guy, I began to make a lot of wrong choices concerning friends and certain things that I did, and I found myself experimenting with drugs and alcohol, pornography, crime, the occult, the list goes on. By age 13, I was addicted to drugs. Life for me was a downward spiral. From the age of 7 to 14, my mother still had visitation rights. So each summer, I would fly out and visit her like each and every other summer. And somewhere in my mother's life, she and my stepfather started going to church. And so when I went to go visit them, it was not optional for me. I had to go to church. I began to hate church, began to hate God and everything else, because my line of thinking was, if there was this loving God like this preacher continually talked about, then why was life for me such a mess? So as a young teen, I just rejected everything that I had heard. At the age of 15, I was visiting my mother just like I did every other summer. My life was a complete mess. I was miserable, angry, destructive, hateful toward many, many people. In trouble with the law. I remember going to church and being in church just like I was every other Sunday when I would go and visit her. And I remember the preacher talking briefly about a place called hell. As he was doing that, I began to come under extreme conviction. I remember thinking, if he's right, and there really is a literal hell, then that is exactly where I was going. I couldn't imagine hell being worse than my life already was. It scared me. As I sat in that pew, the conviction of my sin was so strong. I knew I needed the forgiveness of God. So I went home after church and I went down into my basement and I told my mom that I was just going for a walk and grabbed the Bible and went down to that basement. I poured my heart out before God in the only way that I knew how. And I asked Jesus to forgive me and to cleanse me from my sin. I remember the feeling of all the weight of my sin being taken off me. I finally had found true freedom. My life drastically changed from that point on. I graduated high school and I enlisted in the United States Air Force. While stationed in Germany, I surrendered to the call of God upon my life. There was a missions conference and Dr. Gene Burge was the preacher. I remember him talking about becoming a rope holder for missions. I knew God wanted me for full-time ministry, but I didn't know which area of ministry. So I just surrendered my life to be used of God however He saw fit. I went from Germany to Minot, North Dakota. While there, I answered the call to preach. I knew that at this point, my focus was to begin to prepare for the ministry. So I went to school to study to be a pastor. Today, I've been a pastor for over 10 years. God has given me a beautiful wife, 5 wonderful children, 4 of which He has given us through adoption. Has life always been easy? No way. But the grace, love, forgiveness that God gives to those who seek Him is worth more than anything money can buy. To know deep in my heart that I have the peace of God and that I am loved by Him, that is priceless. I remember that great verse in Psalm 27:10. When my mother and father forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. With God's grace, I can face each new day.
God changes us through faith and belief in Jesus Christ, but we must make the choice to accept what Jesus has done for us. Mike relates how God used circumstances to put him into the position of accepting him. You can accept him. Listen to Mike's story now.
Growing up, I had a good relationship with my mom, but really not with my dad. Unless I was doing good in sports, kind of felt like I was like his sports trophy or something. But with mom, I could talk with her and sit down, and we definitely had a good relationship. Mom would always make sure I was in church every Sunday morning because it seemed like the right thing to do. I remember singing in the youth choir and practicing my Easter piece for Easter Sunday, but not understanding why I was doing it. I remember watching my father go to church on Sunday singing about God, but cursing my mom and me out the rest of the week and bringing home liquor, beer, or whatever type of alcohol right after church. So now in my mind, I'm thinking, as long as I go to church on Sunday, I can do anything I want to for the rest of the week. From about age 17 to 19, I began to party. You name it, I did it. Getting high, drinking, having sex, dating multiple women, fighting in clubs and streets. I had a serious attitude, and I knew it needed to change, but I honestly didn't know how or when. But honestly, I thought I was living the life that I had a good job. I was going to college. I was playing basketball there. But during the weekends, I was living a life in what we call the fast lane. There are some particular instances that sticks in my mind that proves that God was protecting me before I even came to know Him as my Lord and Savior. He was just waiting for me to make the right choice and to come to Him. On the night of Thanksgiving, my friends and I went to a club. And I can remember having a great time and singing and dancing and drinking a little bit. And we were coming home and we were coming off onto this ramp to get onto 81. And I was asleep most of the time, but I remember just this time where I was sleeping and the Lord, I felt like a voice spoke to me. And I woke up, and I remember the voice saying, "Wake up and put your seatbelt on." And about a couple minutes later, coming around this ramp, my friend must have fell asleep, and he was getting ready to run the car into a cinder brick wall. And I remember shaking him and saying, "Wake up," and turning the car really fast and going down into a ditch. And there was about 4 of us in the car, and I can remember my friends waking up and saying, "Man, what happened? We could have been killed, and all these different things could have happened," and we're very upset. And I can just remember a peace coming over me. And I remember walking up towards the highway on the hill, and looking up at the sky, and I knew about God, but I didn't have a relationship at this time. And I remember praying, Lord, if you would just get us out of this situation, I will serve you. I will do what is necessary. And I can remember a couple seconds after that, my friends were saying, hey, come on. And I can remember this lady pulling up in a tracker. It was about 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning. And she was all by herself picking up four guys that had wrecked off the highway. And she took us to the nearest gas station so that we could get help. And I was just thinking, Lord, I don't know if that was an angel. I don't really know what it was, but I know that you answered my prayer. And I can remember another instance where a young man at the college I went to had a gun, and he put it to my side, and I knew it was loaded. And I can remember him pulling the trigger and it never going off. But about a week later, the same gun was pulled and it went off. And I was just saying, Lord, man, you really looked after me. You really watching over me. And I just thank you for that. But the results of and consequences of living my life this way, I were losing my scholarship and having a horrible attitude about life and always feeling tired or really exhausted about this. But all this was about to change. I remember April 1999 on a Sunday morning. I was now singing on the adult choir at the age of 19, about to turn 20. The pastor was given an altar call for anyone that was ready to have a relationship with Jesus Christ and stop living according to how the world tells you to live. I remember walking down off the choir box, weeping, while the song, I Surrender All, was being played by the pianist, and giving my pastor a big hug, knowing that I was ready to live for Christ by accepting him in my life and believing that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins, and that he rose from the dead on the third day with all power, and confessing with my mouth that I am a sinner and that I need a Savior. Jesus wants to live in each one of us, but he does give us a choice to make. He doesn't promise us that life will be easy once you accept him. You will still be tempted. You will still have trials. The Bible says in James 1:2-4, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. I was tempted sexually even after I was saved, and I was even tempted to commit suicide. But God is faithful. He spoke to me and provided for me a way out. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. To think and know that God loves me so much that even after all those things that I've done in my past and all the mess that I made, God has called me to be a pastor. He's given me a wonderful wife. He has given me a beautiful daughter. But most of all, he has given me eternal life. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one son and one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Just to think, whoever. Doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter what you look like. God is willing to forgive you, and he sent his son for that, that you may not perish, but have everlasting life. Give your life to Jesus, and I guarantee he will change your life forever.
Days come, days go, each one in perfect single point of light. Flowers bloom, flowers wilt, gardens go to seed. Streams run clear, then turn to frost, yearning to be freed. Seasons come, seasons go, faster than the last. All too soon, our days all gone, opportunities are past. Day by day, year by year, one question but remains. Live for self or live for Christ, which legacy to claim? One day left on this earth, what would you choose to do? Live for self or live for Christ? The choice is up to you. We never know what will be, we want to last. Candles lit, wax wears thin, light finally dies. Each life lived by God's grace lives again and flies. Day by day, year by year, one question but remains. Which legacy to claim? With one day left on this earth, what would you choose to do? To live for self or live for Christ? The choice is up to you. Live for self.
If you want to make the choice to accept Jesus Christ right now, you can. Number one, admit that you have sinned and truly want to turn away from your sins and repent of them. Two, accept through faith that Jesus Christ died as a sacrifice for your sins because he loves you. And three, ask God to forgive you of your sins and strive to serve him by being obedient to his word, the Bible. If you want to talk to someone about accepting Christ, call the Mogensville Bible Brethren Church in Mogensville, Maryland at 301-791-8101 or reach us at our website www.mbbchurch.org. Thank you for taking the time to listen to this DVD. We hope it has been a blessing and a challenge to you.